You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Layla Mudin. I weigh in on your questions, topics of interest. You can email them to questions@drhoffman.net. That is questions@drhoffman.net. You know, in recent years, well, I think it's been even a couple of decades, we've been questioning the integrity of scientific research. And it's a worldwide problem. And back in 2021, a former editor at the British Medical Journal, Richard Smith, he posted an editorial stating that practitioners, scientists, policymakers, and the general public should stop assuming that research actually happens and is honestly reported, and assume that the research is fraudulent until there is some evidence to support it having happened and been honestly reported. Now, many other scientific and medical leaders have voiced similar opinions. I know even Dr. Alan Gaby has done so as well when he brings to the fore scientific research that is very shoddily done, methodologically flawed, right? All of that. This is happening all over the place, just like all of the propaganda from our mainstream news networks. Yep, this is the world we're living in today. Well, there is a rigid RIGID, which is an acronym for something I'm going to get to in a moment. There is a rigid stance against research fraud. The researchers at Monash University in Australia, they are calling on the global medical community to adopt their new six-step approach to detect and eliminate fraudulent studies before they are incorporated into meta-analyses, clinical guidelines, and best practices. RIGID stands for Research, Integrity in Guidelines, and Evidence. They borrowed the D from evidence. Okay. Research, Integrity in Guidelines, and Evidence. The RIGID system is positioned as an international framework for addressing the massive worldwide problem of research fraud. Now, this has grown to epidemic proportions. And the RIGID guidelines were recently posted on the Lancet's e-clinical medicine site. Now, the RIGID co-lead author, Ben Mull, head of the Women's Healthcare Research Group at the Monash and Melbourne campus, estimates roughly 25% of all studies that go into clinical practice guidelines are questionable at best, fraudulent at worst. I would dare to say that that number is higher. in my opinion. The peer review process at medical journals is failing, and a lot of bad research is getting out into circulation. Dr. Moll notes that there were more than 10,000 published studies retracted by journals in 2023, a new shameful record. Retractions are important. Process for getting a dodgy paper retracted is tedious, time-consuming, and inadequate for confronting the tidal waves of bad data flooding all clinical disciplines. And even if bad papers are retracted, they often live on in meta-analyses and systematic reviews. Right? A meta-analysis is a study of a bunch of studies. Because the authors of these reviews seldom revise their papers to reflect subsequent retractions. Dr. Moll and his colleagues argue that the international scientific community needs to do a much better job of proactively detecting and rejecting bogus studies before they're reified and disseminated via national and international clinical practice guidelines. Hear, hear. This is long overdue. So many of you send us, what about this study that says this, Dr. Hoffman? What about this that says that, Layla? You know, we are left holding the band to decipher this information for you. We are happy to do it, and we thank you for bringing it to our attention. And these are chronic examples of shoddy research that we have to pick apart and tell you about. So, the rigid guidelines define 6 steps for eliminating fraudulent science from practice guidelines and meta-analyses. Number 1, review. This is the standard systematic review process, which should be the starting point for any clinical review article, meta-analysis, or clinical practice consensus statement. Number 2, exclude. Studies which have been retracted should be categorically excluded. Papers for which expressions of concern have been listed should be flagged for further evaluation. Number 3, assess. Remaining studies are assessed for integrity using an appropriate tool such as the Research Integrity Assessment Tool or Trustworthiness of Randomized Controlled Trials Checklist, and allocated an initial integrity risk rating of low, moderate, or high risk. I mean, this is what we're doing with information, isn't this? Yeah. Because so much of this has become propaganda. Unfortunately. Number 4, discuss. Integrity assessment results should be discussed among review committee members. Votes to determine final integrity risk ratings for each study under consideration. Number 5, establish contact. For studies ranked as moderate or high risk, reviewers should contact the office for clarification. And number 6, reassess. Reviewers should reassess studies for inclusion using the rigid author response algorithm. Questionable papers can be reclassified as included when their primary authors have provided a satisfactory response, as awaiting classification, where authors have engaged but have not yet addressed the stated concerns, or as not included when authors do not respond to multiple contact attempts. So rigid is a first step toward providing a systematic framework for protecting clinical guidelines from contamination by misleading data. Ideally, the pre-publication peer review process would be robust enough to catch and discard questionable studies before they're published into journals. That would prevent bad data from ever entering into meta-analyses and clinical guidelines. But it is obvious that we live in a far from ideal world. Peer review is broken. The rigid authors underscore the shortcomings of the peer review process, noting that, quote, perpetuation of problematic research is underpinned by complex systemic shortcomings, including inadequate application of quality research reporting processes or detection systems, lack of time and resources to investigate claims, lack of incentives for journals, institutions, and whistleblowers, and barriers around reputation or legal implications, end quote. Wow, that is fully loaded, isn't it? This means the task of sorting out good from bad research, unfortunately, falls on the clinical community, as well as healthcare policymakers. And policymakers always mess it up, in my opinion, because they're not scrutinizing anything. And there are other hands at play. There are other agendas that drive healthcare policymakers. RIGID is a first step toward providing a systematic framework for protecting clinical guidelines from contamination by misleading data. So, last year, the RIGID review system was put to the test as part of the development process for the International Evidence-Based Guidelines for Polycystic Ovary Syndrome, published by the Royal Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. So, the development of these guidelines involved 39 OBGYN societies and over 80 multidisciplinary experts who evaluated more than 6,000 pages of published studies. Dr. Moll, who was on the development team, reported that roughly 45% of all the studies under review for potential inclusion in the guidelines ranked as moderate to high risk for lack of scientific integrity. 45%. Quote, that's a shockingly high number. Those potentially untrustworthy papers might have completely skewed the guidelines, Dr. Moll stated. Bad guidelines will lead to bad clinical practice. Which, you know, explains a whole lot of guidelines for PCOS, so much of it is wrong. Authoritative guidelines such as the International PCOS Guidelines are widely read and widely referenced. They influence medical decision-making and often factor into large-scale healthcare policy changes. So, Helena Teed, a co-author of the RIGID framework, says that it's now been embraced by other guidelines development committees in the women's health field, yay, including the Premature Ovarian Insufficiency International Guideline and the Australian adaptation of the European Society of Human Reproduction and Embryology Unexplained Infertility Guideline. So it's a worldwide problem. And again, what I said in the beginning, back in 2021, Richard Smith, a former editor at the British Medical Journal, posted an editorial stating that practitioners, scientists, policymakers, and the general public should, quote, stop assuming that research actually happened and is honestly reported, and assume that the research is fraudulent until there is some evidence to support it having happened and been honestly reported, end quote. And many other prominent scientific and medical leaders have voiced similar opinions. The RIGID authors note that gaps in research integrity are not always intentional. Problems sometimes arise through accident or error, inaccurate analysis, lack of oversight, or lack of experience. You know, when Dr. Hoffman and I have looked at methodologies, the methods of scientific research, that's often where we find inaccurate analysis, maybe a lack of experience. For example, an old vitamin E study that found that, you know, you've heard those horrible headlines, vitamins are bad for you, this vitamin E is bad for you. Well, they used D-alpha tocopherol only. Use the matrix of vitamin E, the other tocopherols, gamma, delta, all of these tocopherols, as well as the tocotrienols. You don't just take D-alpha tocopherol in a vitamin E supplement. That supplement can be dangerous because it's depleting all the other of the matrix of vitamin E. So that's a bad study. Why didn't the researchers know that? Right? What a waste of money. What a waste of grant money. That's our tax dollars, ladies and gentlemen. So, that said, one need not look far to find examples of data fabrication, falsification, manipulation, and plagiarism. Retraction Watch, an independent scientific watchdog group, does an excellent job of chronicling scientific malfeasance across many disciplines. In their paper, the rigid authors stress that, quote, integrity in scientific research is predicated on the four pillars of honesty, accuracy, efficiency, and objectivity. Research integrity is particularly important in fields such as medicine, where results from clinical studies directly inform clinical guidelines, in turn shaping routine patient care. They add that randomized controlled trials with concerns around integrity can compromise patient care, both directly through unnecessary or harmful treatments, or indirectly through wasted resources and misdirected future medical research. The rigid framework is not a fail-safe solution to the publication and proliferation of fraudulent or questionable science, but if it's widely embraced, it may go a long way toward ensuring that clinical practice guidelines are not contaminated by dodgy data. Now, you have to think of all the scientific research you've heard, because let's talk about some guidelines. The cholesterol guidelines, they keep going lower and lower and lower. Gee, maybe in 20, 30 years, they won't want you to have any cholesterol at all. I mean, it's really frightening. They want LDLs less than 100, even less than 70, where it used to be under 130 was fine. 130 was fine. You have to wonder where these guidelines came from and what type of dodgy data was involved in the making of those guidelines, in the making of that kind of policy, right? I can give you also another example. Hypertension guidelines. Now, 120 over 80 is called prehypertension. It used to be normal blood pressure. So the American Medical Association says, no, that's prehypertension. You know, 120 over 80. But the American Association of Family Physicians, the AAFP, they disagree with those guidelines. They say, we smell a rat here. If your blood pressure is consistently 140 over 90 and over, that's high blood pressure. Because the AMA apparently took some pharmaceutical money and then changed that guideline to lower blood pressure criteria. See, they just want everybody on blood pressure medication. You see how all of this is working, and that's unfortunate. But listen, Don't believe everything you read. And just because something is published, and just because something is published by credentialed scientists, doesn't mean that it's worthy, doesn't mean it has integrity, doesn't mean that it is valid or reliable. And there you go. This is the state of scientific research. Sad but true, but here we are. So it's about time organizations and others started calling this out during our Great Awakening. I invite you to email me with questions, topics of interest, to questions@drhoffman.net. That's questions@drhoffman.net. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Ways. This is Intelligent Medicine.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news, and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.